For more than a year now, Yahya Sinwar has been Israel's number one target as they pursued the Hamas leader who masterminded the October the 7th attacks. Yesterday, in what seems to have been a chance encounter, they killed him. For more on what happened and whether this could be a turning point in the brutal war on Gaza, Channel 4 Foreign Affairs correspondent Porrick O'Brien is on the line. Porrick O'Brien, what have we learned about how Yahya Sinwar was killed?
Hi, Anya. Just to give some background for your listeners, I'm in Haifa in Israel, which is near the Lebanese border, and we're here because five Israeli soldiers were killed here on Wednesday, several injured brought to the hospital that I'm standing outside. And we were here yesterday also when these photographs of Sinwar's body started popping up on the phones of the soldiers that we were speaking to. The pictures show this mangled corpse. This is one of the chief architects, remember, of the October the 7th attack, and he was his body dead in the rubble. The pictures we saw were taken by the Israeli soldiers who killed him in Rafah, that's in the south of Gaza, and they show Sinwar with a large open wound to the head. He's wearing military fatigues, fitting, some would say, for the man who planned the attack, you know, that brought the Middle East to the edge of all-out war. There were two other bodies found in the rubble with him. There were identification documents, cash, there was combat equipment. But I think one of the most striking details that's come out about this attack is that the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, didn't know ahead of time that Sinwar was in the building. You know, there was no advance intelligence here. It was described by the IDF as a routine activity. And what transpired happened was that a group of trainee Israeli commanders were operating in Rafah. They approached a building. A Hamas fighter started firing at them. They returned fire. Then they called in the tanks. And after the firing stopped, they went through the rubble and discovered that they'd killed Israel's most wanted man, Sinwar.
Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli Prime Minister, said afterwards, "The mission ahead of us is still unfinished." Could this be a turning point? Will this be a turning point?
I doubt it. I think that Netanyahu's stated aims when it comes to this war were to bring down Hamas, both politically and militarily, and crucially, to bring back the remaining hostages. Remember, about 101 hostages still inside Gaza. It's assumed that about half of them are alive. But in Israel, where I am, that's what everyone is talking about. What's going to happen to those remaining hostages inside Gaza? There is a fear, speaking to the families of some of the hostages remained, that the captors of their loved ones inside Gaza may panic at news of the death of Sinwar, and that there would be some, you know, terrible outcome as a result of that. But the political energy here in Israel is beginning already to focus on those hostages. In terms of Netanyahu, though, some interesting polling out today in the Israeli media, putting him at around 24%, ahead of Benny Gantz, the leader of the opposition, at around 20. So, you know, to a certain extent, at the moment at least, Netanyahu is one of the winners here. It seems that this is kind of cementing support from him. Although, of course, all that could change.
And Netanyahu also said, "Whoever sets aside their weapons and returns the hostages will be let leave and live." The chances of?
Who knows? I mean, it depends. You know, there isn't Hamas have the majority of the hostages inside, but there are other groups that are holding hostages. There are possibly some criminal networks holding hostages. It is a disparate group, so each response will be different, I suppose, to Sinwar's death. What's also interesting, just in terms of the language that Netanyahu was using yesterday, as you said, he addressed, like, specifically the people of Gaza, but he also addressed the people of the Middle East and said that this was an opportunity for peace, an opportunity for a different sort of future, which echoed the language the White House was using yesterday, although I think they have different ideas of what that might look like. I imagine that Joe Biden and the White House will be now pressurizing Netanyahu to use this moment as a sort of an off-ramp for the war. But whether there's appetite in Netanyahu's administration, particularly with the, you know, far-right coalition partners that are bolstering up his government to do that, I think it's questionable.
So we have Sinwar dead in Gaza, but we also have 42,000 dead there, the threat of famine amid the destruction. Have aid deliveries resumed? Is there any hope of an improvement in the desperate plight of the people of Gaza?
So after, since the 1st of, from the 1st of October up until about 3 days ago, zero aid got into Gaza. We were talking to the World Food Programme coordinator for Palestine a couple of days ago in Jerusalem, and he told us that in the last 2 or 3 days, there has been a trickle of aid arriving in through the Erez crossing. We were there, we saw some of the trucks arrive, but it is a trickle. And also what the WFP were telling us was that the obstruction of aid is continuing. So although aid trucks get past the gates, there's a holding area where they are unloaded and examined, etc. So many of them get sort of stuck in that unloading platform inside the gates. The Israelis will tell you that, you know, lots of trucks are getting through. In fact, many of them are getting stuck at that point. Some of them do eventually get through. So that's a complicated issue, but it's one that the White House has been incredibly frustrated about when it has come to Netanyahu's administration. But I don't think it's any accident that sort of all of these things are happening at the same time. I think the Israelis want to demonstrate to the White House that there is the will, at least in theory, to let aid through. That also, remember, coincides with this anti-ballistic missile system that the Americans have just delivered to Israel with a view to striking Iran if it retaliates.
And what next in Lebanon?
Well, there was some pullback yesterday by the Israelis, but I have to say, just as I'm standing outside this hospital, the five Israeli soldiers were killed the day before yesterday, and that sort of slightly got lost in the news around Sinwar's death. That's significant. The soldiers that were killed were from this unit called the Golani Brigade. Their colleagues, four of them, were killed by a Hezbollah drone earlier in the week. So it'll be interesting to see how Netanyahu and the Israeli military react to that by way of retaliation. But that's one to keep an eye on, as it slightly got lost in the news around Sinwar's death.
Pádraic O'Brien, Foreign Affairs Correspondent with Channel 4 News. Thank you for joining us on Morning Ireland this morning.